John 18, thank you for being here tonight. I have looked off and on, I guess, for the last few years about different questions that Jesus asked. And you may wonder, how in the world can you find any more? Well, there's several I haven't dealt with, but this is number 92. I want to look at where he asked this question. He really asked two questions in this one particular verse. Begin reading in verse 19. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made the fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Here's the first question I won't deal with. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of my evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? That's the question I want to deal with. Why smitest thou me? What a searching question. Here's a buck private slapping the Son of God. And he asks the question, why are you hitting me? I can rephrase it. Why are you hurting me? The word smite means to beat. It means to scourge. That smiting by the hand revealed the heart of the man. The fact that he smote him revealed the fact that he despised the Lord, or at the very least did not believe that he was who he claimed to be. There's no doubt about it. The Lord was human. He felt the slap and it hurt him. At the exact same time that this is happening, as I read, Peter is right close by denying the Lord. I say, no doubt it was a difficult time for the Lord. He was being hurt in many ways. I want to try and answer that question. Let him answer the question, why smitest thou me? Could I look first at mistaken authority? In verse 19, the high priest asked Jesus the question. It says, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Now, that was an illegal way of interrogation. During that time, the law said that you cannot interrogate a suspect in a way that will incriminate him. But they did not care what the law said. They did not care if it was legal. They just wanted to deal with Jesus and get rid of him as soon as possible. They had no time for the Lord. Those are not the only ones who have that attitude. We have those today. But here's this high priest. If you will, he is the highest of the high. He is the one with the legal authority, the religious authority, to ask any right question, to deal with the situation. But it's not the high priest that hits him, but it's one of the servants, if you will. It's one of the guards, if you will, that slaps him and asks him, how are you going to speak to the high priest in such a way? Verse 21 said, Why askest thou me? Ask them that heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. The high priest says, Tell me about your disciples and tell me about your doctrine. And Jesus said, I have spoken openly. I have not hidden anything. We have not been sneaking around in the dark. Ask anyone who heard me. There had been thousands who had seen the Lord and heard the Lord. It was not a surprise. It was not a secret. Everyone knew what he had been claiming. And as I've already said, the high priest was an honored man. He was really the upper echelon of those who had the opinion of that day. But in verse 22, an officer, I said it already, above private. It literally means an under rower. That person at the ship down in the bottom rowing with an oar. You could not be any lower. So you have the highest, the high priest, and the lowest, the servant or the officer interrogating Jesus. And here's my point. Even though the high priest was a high priest, an honored position, he did not have the authority to question God, to interrogate God. There's a mistaken authority. They are asking, who gives you the right to do what you've been doing? Who gives you the authority to say what you've been saying? And Jesus, had he had answered, he would have said, my Father does. There is no higher authority. For someone to have authority and their words to mean anything, they have to have that power, just like a judge sitting on a bench. He is a man or a woman, just a human being. But when that judge pronounces a sentence and says to that criminal, you go to prison for the rest of your life, that prisoner goes to prison for the rest of his life, not because some man said it, but because the judge said it. And when he spoke with his authority as a judge. Just like Barney when he arrests somebody. They don't go to jail because they're afraid of Barney. They go because they know Barney has the authority. And this high priest, even though he had authority from man, and if he'd been right, he would have had authority from God. It was not like the authority of Jesus. In other words, God is the one who's in the rule. He's the one with control. He was the one, Jesus was the one who had been granted authority from the Lord. And this high priest and this officer was attacking the authority of Jesus. Who gives you the right? Why are you saying what you're saying? Well, God gave him the right. Not only mistaken authority, but I want to mention before I get to my message, a misdirected anger. They were mad. The officer struck Jesus. The high priest interrogated Jesus. And they were both angry in doing so. They were mad at him, but they were mad at the wrong person. They really ought to have been mad at themselves because they were the wrong one that was wrong. And so many times we get mad at God or mad at someone, which if we were really analyze a situation, we shouldn't get mad at him for sure and shouldn't get mad at them for sure. We ought to get mad at ourselves because a lot of times the things that we're suffering, the consequences we are enduring is our own fault. And we shouldn't blame him and we shouldn't blame them. We ought to blame ourselves. A misdirected anger. They were mad at the wrong person and we can do the same. I'll mention first a mistaken authority. Number two, a misdirected anger. Number three, a misunderstood actions. And this really is my message. They misunderstood what he was doing. They misunderstood what he was saying. They did not understand, listen to me, what God was doing. They did not understand what God was doing. You ever felt that way? You ever felt, Lord, I don't know why you're letting this happen. I don't know why you've sent this my way. Lord, I do not understand what you're doing. They ask, why do you do what you're doing? And I think sometimes we say the same thing to God, maybe not verbalize it, but in our mind and our spirit, we say, Lord, why are you doing what you're doing? Now, they did not agree with what Jesus was doing, and maybe sometimes we go that far, and we don't agree with what he's doing, or maybe we don't like what he's doing, or we wish he would do something different, but here's what we got to realize. He's the one that's God. He's the one with authority. He's the one who knows what's right. They were mad at Jesus because of what he had said. You know why they got mad at him? Because he told them the truth. He told them the truth about themselves. The issue was this. They were not trusting the Lord. That's the whole thing. Had they trusted him when they heard him, they would have believed him and followed him instead of slapping him or interrogating him. They were not trusting God. I would ask you this. Are we trusting God? Listen, he got hurt. That's the question. Why smitest thou me? Here's another way to word it. Why are you hurting me? I think maybe he asked us the same question. Why are you hurting me? Why are you not trusting me? Why are you not letting me have your will? Why are you complaining and murmuring? So many times we do. They were not trusting him, and so many times we don't. I want to ask you a question, some searching questions. When he confronts you, do you trust him? He says in verse 23, if I have spoken evil, tell me what I said. He is saying, if I have said anything wrong, anything amiss, tell me when I said it and what I said. He had spoken nothing but the truth. And part of the truth that he spoke was about them. They were vipers. They were snakes in the grass. They were sinners, and the Lord told them so, and they did not like it, so they smacked him because they were angry because of what he had said. I got a question. When the Lord confronts us, when he tells us the truth, do we still trust him? Do we still love him? 1 Peter 2:8 says that he is a stone of stumbling, and the verse ends, to them which stumble at the word. When God speaks the truth, do we accept it? When he tells the truth about us, do we accept it? Here's what the Bible says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth, even though they know it may make you mad, is your friend. Now, if they do it in anger or to hurt you, that's another thing. But if they do it because they love you and they're willing to take a chance of you getting mad at them because they know and realize you need the truth, I tell you what, that's a good friend. And we need that kind of friend, and that's the kind of friend Jesus is. He tells us the truth. And when he tells us the truth, do we listen? Do we say, Lord, you're right. You're right. I'll tell you what we can do, just like this officer. We can say, I'm not listening. That's not true. I'm not listening. And it'll hurt him when we do. Do we trust him when he confronts us? You don't need a friend that says, oh, everything's fine. A friend who will tell us the truth is a true friend. Galatians 4:16, Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm telling you the truth because I love you. And that's what the Lord does. And by the way, that's what we need. We need the truth. I may not want to hear it, and usually I don't, but I need to hear it. It may not make me feel good, and it usually doesn't, but it's what I need to hear. By the way, that's what a preacher must do. A preacher must preach the truth that God says, whether he wants to or not. Do we trust him when he confronts us? Do we trust him when he confuses us? I'm talking about, they say, tell me about these disciples of yours. Tell me about this doctrine of yours. And they smack him because they would not accept what he was saying and doing. And Jesus clearly made sure that we knew it hurt him to be smitten because they were not trusting him. Do we trust him when he confronts us and tells us the truth and say, Lord, you're right. You're right. It hurts me. I don't like to admit it, but you're right. Do we trust him when he confuses us? When we don't understand, Lord, why are you doing this? What are you doing? I think about Mary and Martha. Jesus let Lazarus die, the brother they loved so dearly that they trusted in, depended on for their way of living. And Jesus' own purpose delayed until Lazarus was dead. And both of the sisters said to the Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. They were confused. Lord, if you love us, why are you letting it happen? Why did you let him die? Why did you let the problem come? When you're hurting and he hasn't helped and it's confusing, do you still trust him? When you need help and the help hasn't come, do you still trust him? When there's times he lets you hurt and lets you weep and may ask of you the thing you don't want to give up more than anything else, like Abraham, his son Isaac, whom he loved, God said, that's what I want. Give it to me. When he confuses us, when we don't know what in the world he's doing, can't figure it out, couldn't analyze it if we could, do we trust him then? If we don't, we're smiting him. If we don't, we're hurting him because he wants us to trust him even when it doesn't make sense. When he takes that which means the most to you, when you find out it's cancer, when the phone call comes, when the loved one passes away, when that reversal comes, when the stock market falls apart, when battles come, when the appliances stop and fail and quit running, when things happen you do not understand, when you cannot, when it confuses you, do you trust him then? If we don't, it hurts him because he wants us to trust him even if we can't make sense of it. Job said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that's the kind of attitude he wants us to have. You know what? That's the kind of attitude we can have. It's the attitude we ought to have. Whatever he does, if I understand it or not, if I can explain it or not, I know he's God. I know he's good. I know he loves me. And I can trust him. To do otherwise hurts him. Because we're betraying him and we're saying, Lord, I can't trust you. Do we give our all when we don't know what he's doing? Do we say, here am I, Lord, I don't want to hurt, but if I need to hurt, I'll hurt. Do we trust him when he confuses us? Do we trust him when he confronts us? Do we trust him when he confuses us? How about this? Do we trust him when he chastens us? It's one thing to be going through a problem. One thing to have an issue, one thing to have a situation, and the Lord sent that trial to help us. But when we're going through something and he makes it clear it's our fault, boy, I want to tell you something, it's hard to trust him. But Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He's like a good father who chastens his children because he knows they need it. And it hurts him more than it hurts them. You ever hear your parents say that? Well, I'll tell you what, when you're a little boy, you don't believe it too much. But when you get to be an old man and you're the one applying the discipline, you understand it. When he chastens us, here's what the psalmist said, Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. See, sometimes it takes a whipping. Sometimes it takes chastening. Sometimes he has to back off of us, take our joy away, our peace away, our burden away, our desire away, because we won't walk with him like we should, and he has to chasten us, and he does it because he loves us. So many times, I'm thankful. I can't think of anybody here who's ever said this to me. If you have, I've forgotten it. But I have heard this. When I, in my opinion, which is limited and sometimes wrong, maybe a lot of the times wrong, but I have talked to some people, it seemed very obvious to me and anybody else who knew the situation that what these people were going through was their own fault, and they were almost asking the Lord to chasten them. And when he began to chasten them, they start wondering, why is God letting this happen? And I wanted to say, I'll tell you why, because you ain't lived for him, and you've been living like a dog. But that's the truth sometimes. He chastens us. And the psalmist said it, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's a good thing, a loving thing, when he whips us, when he takes us to the woodshed. It hurts, and it hurts him. That's what I'm talking about. So I want to say this evening, do you realize that his love is unconditional? That's really the message. My message is about 3 minutes tonight, as far as what I want to really get to say. His love for us is unconditional. And there's no greater display of his love than when he deals with us and tries to draw us closer to him. Sometimes somebody can say, I love you, and you know it doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean anything to them, doesn't mean anything to you, because you know it isn't real. But I'll tell you one thing, when he says, I love you, he shows us. He shows us daily that he loves us. The unconditional love of God is for those who do not deserve it and cannot earn it. I want to say that again. The unconditional love of God is for those who do not deserve it and cannot earn it. I say I'm guilty of that. I don't deserve his love and I cannot earn his love, but I enjoy it every single day of my life. Lamentations 3:22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He says, it's by God's mercy I'm even alive, that I am still breathing. Romans 8:39, nothing going to separate us from the love of God, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will love us no matter what. He loves us when we don't love him. He takes the if out of love. Our way of loving is, if you treat me right, I'll love you. If you do what I want you to do, I'll love you. If you love me, I'll love you. If. But he takes the if out of love. He loves us even if we don't love him. He loves us even if we aren't right. He loves us even if we aren't nice. He loves us even if we aren't good. He loves us no matter what. That's the kind of love that he has for us. He loves us, listen to this, whether we respond to that love or not. We cannot do anything to make him love us less or more. He just loves us. He takes the if out of love. I want to ask you, is your love for him unconditional? My point has been very, very scattered. They smote him, which hurt him. And the smack on the face hurt. But they're not accepting him and trusting him hurt a whole lot more. And we, especially as God's children, need to trust him. I know some of you going through difficult times. I weep with you. I'm burdened with you. I pray for you. I'm there if you need me, if I can do anything. But I want to tell you something. God still loves you. God still loves you. And let him love you. Accept the help that he has for you. Take from him the grace that he's trying to give you. Is our love for him unconditional? Do we love him anyway? Even if we don't understand, even if we don't agree, do we still love him? This evening, I want to say to somebody who may not be saved, Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died for you, and you don't have to go to hell. And you know what? If you don't accept him, that's where you'll go. But he still loved you, and he still died for you. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves you now. He wants to save you now. If you're not saved tonight, it would be a good night to get saved. If you are saved, there's a burden you want to give to the Lord, let me encourage you to do that. We need to trust Him more than ever. Let's stand together. I mean, if you'll come.